Well, I will be moving on in my First John series, and you'll notice that over the next few Sundays, I'll probably be going through the next few letters fairly quickly, faster than normal. That's because I'm not going to be preaching out of the Epistles of John starting in 2019, and so I'll have a few Christmas messages and we'll be starting a new series in January. But anyways, we'll be looking at at some verses today that they're not the easiest to understand just reading through them. And let's go ahead and start out by reading our scripture for today. I'll be looking at 1 John chapter 5, starting with verses 16 and reading through 18. Verse 16 through 18. If anyone sees his brother commit a sin that does not lead to death, he should pray, and God will give him life. I refer to those whose sin does not lead to death. There is a sin that leads to death. I am not saying that he should pray about that. All wrongdoing is sin, and there is sin that does not lead to death. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who is born of God keeps him safe, and the evil one cannot harm him. Wow. Before I begin, let's just start out in prayer. Lord, let your message today be clear to us, and help us to understand what you want us to know from this scripture today. Let it be applicable to our lives. Let's continue to hunger and thirst for your truth found in Scripture, Lord. In your name I pray. Amen. So you see a brother or a sister committing sin that doesn't lead to death. We're told that we should pray that God would give them life. That's pretty much the first verse that we looked at in verse 16. Verse 16. Committing sin, that doesn't lead to death. But we're to pray they be given life. That's a tough one. Honestly, when I started looking at this verse, I really didn't know where the scripture would take me. And this is an interesting passage, as we see that a few verses before, the context before this, was bringing our request to God with confidence. And here we are to confidently intercede in prayer for another who is struggling with sin in their life. But let's kind of pull apart that first verse for a moment. And I've got a couple of observations. Something that I do routinely when I'm looking at a scripture to preach on is, what can I observe in this verse? What are some observations that I make? And the first observation is that John uses the term brother. If you see a brother. Well, in John's letters, brother is referring to a fellow Christian, a brother and sister in Christ. Meaning that if we see a fellow believer, a fellow Christian sinning, we are to pray for them. The second observation I make is, many of you have probably already have made this observation, as John refers to a sin that does not lead to death. Meaning there is a sin that leads to death and there is a sin that does not lead to death. Is this consistent with other scripture? What is John referring to by this? That's my observation. A very prominent verse that comes to mind is Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. What this says is that sin, all sin, earns us death. But as followers of Christ, we are given the gift of life. Does this have anything to do with John's passage? Well, let's look at another verse. Let's look at a verse found in James, James 1:15. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, gives birth to death. Here again, we see something very similar to the Romans passage. Sin produces death. But it's interesting how James puts this. Our worldly desires within us, our sin-bent nature, if not in check, will give birth to sin, which grows when we feed it, and then it produces death. Yet I think we can say that most of us understand these verses found in Romans and John. For many of us, this isn't the first time we've read those verses. The problem is understanding what John is meaning when it comes to sin that doesn't lead to death. Now, there are many differing opinions out there on what John is meaning, but I think we have to look at this topic within the context of John's letter and John's writing. You see, this is the end of John's letter. If you think about if you were to write a letter, there's usually, you probably conclude with something at the end of your letter. Well, that's what John is doing here. This isn't bringing up a new topic to discuss. It's actually concluding his letter that he's writing to the church. Therefore, based on John's letter, sin leading to death alludes to such wrongdoing that is incompatible with walking in the light and living as a child of God. So going through back into the letter that we've already discussed, we see a number of things that John has pointed out that is incompatible with walking in the light of the Lord. John has been warning his readers, and he's been warning us in his letter over and over what an authentic Christian believer looks like. What does a Christian believer look like? A Christian turns away from sin. A Christian is obedient to the command to love one another. A Christian rejects worldliness. Another point that John makes is a Christian maintains their faith in Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, who came as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. John's said over a number of times, because he likes to repeat himself, to deliberately refuse to fulfill these things, which show us what a Christian looks like, is to do the opposite of what Christ wants us to do. It is to not live in light and life, but it ends in darkness and death. John has used the contrast of light and darkness and light, life and death throughout his letter. But John wrote something interesting in the beginning of his letter that may help us in our verses for today, and that's in 1 John chapter 1, starting with verse 7. But if you walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we walk in the light of Jesus Christ, he purifies us. But we cannot say that we are without sin. But when we do sin, we are to confess our sin to the Lord. And we're told that he will forgive us and purify us. You see, there is a tension, one that I've brought out throughout this letter a number of times. The tension is, as followers of Christ, we want to turn from sin, but we all struggle. And when we struggle, we see the Lord's forgiveness. In our verse for today, as followers of Christ, we know that we are not perfect. And if you see a fellow believer struggling, we are told to pray for them. So when we are looking at what John is referring to as sins that do not lead to death, I believe it has to do with a believer struggling with sin in their life. John specifically speaks of a brother or sister, and that is in Christ. That person's position with God is that they are a child of God. They have a genuine faith in God through Christ, and they seek to love their fellow brothers and sisters. But they may also find that on occasions, the battle is too strong and they yield to the temptation of sin. Now, such error is not a deliberate turning away from God, but the kind of wrongdoing which John refers to when he says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. The Apostle Paul talks about sin and grace in several places, but the end of Romans 5 and the beginning of Romans 6 speak of grace having to increase because of sin, but that does not give us license to go on sinning. But the reality of life is that we all do fall short. And one thing that we can do as brothers and sisters is to pray for each other when we see another struggle. But how many of us want to immediately run over to another person that we've seen sin and point it out? I saw what you did. Yeah, you might be Mr. Perfect in church, but I see. How many of us want to confront and point out where someone has fallen short? We're told that there are times to do that, to point out someone's error, and it says that we are to do it in love. How many of us really pay attention to that love part? Sometimes we want to point out someone else's shortfall so that we can feel better ourselves. You know, I'm guilty of that. And I don't want to downplay the confrontation. I think that there are times where a brother and sister may need to lovingly speak, and I mean truly loving speak to another about problems that they are seeing, with the hopes of growing that relationship. But how often do we begin that process with prayer? How many of us sometimes will disguise, I'm sure it doesn't happen here, but I've heard about it happening, where they'll disguise a prayer request, which is really gossip. They saw someone doing something and they just got to tell someone. You know, they're not perfect, so we'll just disguise it as a prayer request. We really need to pray for the pastor. He's backsliding again. Saw his car in front of the bar again. It's not really trying to build anyone up. It is trying to disseminate gossip in a different way. John's not talking about that either. This is not what John is talking about. He's talking about when you see someone stumble, what are we doing? When I look at this scripture, I mentally picture someone in my mind who is a follower of Jesus, and he or she desires nothing more than to serve the Lord with their whole heart. Their desire is to be free from sin, to follow the commands found in Scripture, to live a life worthy of the gospel, but struggles with one thing or another. They're not in need of confrontation, but in need of encouragement. The conviction of the Holy Spirit and the desire to be pleasing to the Lord is already weighing heavy on this person. See, that's who I picture when I look at our scripture today. When you see someone sinning that doesn't lead to death, their desire is not to continue sinning. Their desire is to serve the Lord, but they're struggling. They're in need of encouragement. We see something like this with Paul as he wrote to his readers in Romans 7:15. This is one scripture that has often resonated with me. Maybe it will with you. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good as it is. It is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. Again, I'm not saying that we shouldn't ever point out sin in a brother or sister's life. But what I am saying is that when we see a brother or sister struggling with sin, we should be looking to prayer. We should be looking to encourage. Praise the Lord. We got someone here who's into the message. Thank you. Thank you. What then is the sinning that leads to death? John has brought us a clear picture throughout his letter that help us with this. This is likely the unrepented sin, like a clear rejection of the true doctrine of Jesus Christ, or the chronic disobedience of God's commands. And John even pointed out a persistent lack of love for fellow believers is a significant issue. Now, all of these can be repented of, but the bigger issue is that these are all indicators of a lack of saving faith. Meaning the bigger issue may be that the person has not fully given themselves over to Jesus. Maybe it's not the prayer that about their sin that they are necessarily in need of, but a prayer for salvation. You see, John warned of many being deceived and falling for false teachings and false religions, chasing after counterfeit saviors, and such things only lead to death because only Jesus Christ is the bringer of life. Let's read on in 1 John. Let's move on into verse 17 of chapter 5. All wrongdoing is sin. And there is sin that does not lead to death. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who is born of God keeps him safe, and the evil one cannot harm him. We know that we are children of God, and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. We know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Dear children, keep yourselves from idols. This is like the final note of his first letter. Though we have gone through a bunch of messages on sin, John reminds his readers that sin is sin and it's serious. Sin is sin, and it's serious. Though we have gone through, and if we are born of God and we are children of God, we are followers of Jesus, then our desire is to turn from the seriousness of sin. Just turn from sin. As children of God living in a fallen world, we're given a little encouragement here that God will keep us safe. But the evil one will go to great lengths to try to fool you, to try and tempt you. He will lie to you. But as you keep following Jesus, he keeps revealing his truth to you. Jesus is God. Jesus is the Son of God, and is the only one who bears eternal life. Don't fall for anything less. As we look at the end of this letter, it's all about Jesus, our Redeemer and Savior. And so that's the conclusion of our first letter. We can end with, it's all about Jesus. Don't fall for anything less.